And Isaiah 42:8, I am Jehovah. And we know Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. I am Jehovah. That is my name. And my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. You don't have to have a carved image, but if you have someone else, you're elevating to the status of deity, and it's not the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, then you have another. You're in gross violation of this thing. And God will not share his glory on that level.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Please join us as we study the Gospel of Luke, verse by verse. When we're introduced to Mary, we notice that she's clearly an ordinary person. She wasn't royalty. In fact, she was a peasant girl. Pastor Rick cautions us today to remember that Mary was a sinner like us from a nondescript place. And although she was a virgin, she was not sinless. In fact, in today's passage, she admits her need for a Savior. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Now, here's Pastor Rick in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 28, with today's study.
Verse 28, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you amongst women." Having come in. Well, show yourself in, Gabriel. I mean, you know, you're in the presence of the Lord God himself. Why knock? You walk in and there he is. And the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you." How often we want to hear God tell us that. He is with us. That we have his favor. And so, unlike Zacharias and Elizabeth, where a little note is added about them, where in chapter 1, in the 6th verse of our chapter, it mentions that Zacharias and Elizabeth were righteous, and that according to the commandments and ordinances, they were blameless. These were good folks. But when it comes to Mary, no mention of that. She's favored. That's about it. She's blessed among women. Nothing really extra to add for Mary except her status as a virgin and her favor in the eyes of the Lord. Nothing that would set her apart as a sensational figure in the scripture. And this is very important. Now, I want to be careful here. I want to be clear. But I want to be gentle as I know how, and I don't know much about being gentle. But the greeting here, highly favored one, has been hijacked. You see, when Jerome did the Latin Vulgate, he translated the Greek New Testament into the Latin language. And here, for highly favored one, he used the word full of grace. Because favored here is charis, it is grace, but the context is favored one and not one full of grace. Though that's not wrong until you begin to twist it into something else. And so Mary has been granted by Roman Catholicism the possessor of grace, and she is the dispenser of grace according to their doctrine. And Pope Pius X is the one that started this. It was not always a part of that religion's system. And continuing their fantastic distortion of the truth, the simple truth is put to us here. And Mary is not mere recipient of grace. Again, she is the dispenser of all gifts. This is serious stuff. The gifts that our Savior purchased on the cross with his own blood and his death, his suffering and shame. He is the supreme minister and distributor of graces, and there is no other. The Bible is clear on this. What happens is folks begin to move away from the clarity of these revelations when they begin to allow men and their doctrines to take first position. You are encouraged to bring your Bibles to church here in case there's a guest speaker and he goes off track. You can bust him. We're not trying to tell you what to believe. We share what we believe. We offer insights and perspectives and research to help you come to a conclusion, but we do not tell you you must believe this. That would be a cult. We do not say that our pastors or the senior pastor is infallible. I don't like that phrase, senior pastor, too much, FYI. I'm the pastor, and I have brothers that help me pastor here. And anyway, that's just a side note. Not that it's the most terrible thing that can happen to us. A root canal without any painkiller would be one of the most terrible things. But back to this, it is a heretical view of Mary. Yet it is a vital part of Rome's teaching and Mariology, the worship and the veneration of Mary. It is blasphemous. And I don't think that the people who practice this wake up in the morning and say, today I'm going to blaspheme. I don't think that is the case at all. They've taken a wrong turn. And wrong turns are very serious in religion. It's not like you just, well, I'll just U-turn and get back on course. There's a devil that is involved blinding people. And it is up to us to, as gently as possible, correct when given the opportunity. But we do not need to wait for opportunity to pray for those within that sphere that God has assigned us. We can pray for them right away. Don't undervalue prayer simply because it takes forever. Okay, maybe your prayers are answered instantly and you don't find that funny. But me, it's labor. Some of them are answered instantly. Oh, please don't let that person come over to me. Oh, thank you. Sometimes I get those. But other times, it takes time. And so she was not, of course, sinless. And she will say that Jesus is her own child, is her Savior. And to have a Savior presupposes you have sin and you are in need of a Savior. And so only one in Scripture. Of all the people in Scripture, the Bible says none are without sin, except it says one is without sin. And that, of course, is Jesus Christ. Now, I had not planned to spend too much time on this, and that's about all I want to give it. As far as the many verses, I'm not going to go that route. But it is important to point out that the twisting of verse 28, favored one into full of grace, is a fantastic a stretch of the truth, and it's unfortunate. He says, blessed are you among women, not above women. Again, very significant. And also, I have to point this out, just going back for a moment, that Noah was said to be full of grace. Found favor with God, pardon me. Noah found favor with God, but we don't worship Noah. We don't pray for him. We don't pray for him, to him, or anything like that. Daniel, squeaky clean in the Scriptures, and yet no one would dare pray to Daniel without being guilty in the light of Scripture. And so, blessed are you among women. Verse 29, but when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Now, the Greek word for troubled here is disturbed, and it includes a little fear. Well, if somebody was in your house uninvited, you'd be a little disturbed. But to say these things, you know, blessed are you, this is revealing her humility. I mean, the wheels are turning. She's not, you know, an airhead at all. She's paying attention and she's doing it. Wait a minute. You know, what is this highly favored stuff and blessed among women? This is disturbing to her. She's very innocent and is a very beautiful picture of her, I think. Verse 30, it continues, then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. And this tells us that there was some fear involved. For you have found favor with God. Now, the Bible is loaded with the fear nots throughout Scripture. Fear not. It doesn't mean you're going to dodge the bullet. It just means don't worry about it. And you say, well, how? Well, God will help you. That's how. And so, 1 John, you know, perfect love casts out fear. Perfect, a perfected love, a practiced and a worked love. According to theology, your study of God's word, you're connecting the dots, your time with him, the communion with the Lord. Because it says in 1 John 4:18, fear involves torment. And that's not what God wants for his people. And though you have a lot of people who are just Christians even, smitten with guilt on matters that have been resolved in heaven, but they hold on to the guilt. And, you know, Satan loves that because it's like having a fighter jet with one wing, you know, sitting on the runway, taking out somewhere, taking up space. Don't be that one-winged fighter jet of the Lord. The Lord, he deals with these things. He knows what a mess it is here. Though he understands, does not mean he approves of sin. Things that are wrong, they must be dealt with. But don't let them block out what the Lord has done for you. If you are one of those persons that you're so insecure because of guilt, you're so insecure because of fear, you cannot function because you're afraid. And as a result, you do nothing. You don't get involved in the church. You don't get involved in sharing the faith because you've got all these weights that you've amassed on yourself. And the Lord has said, you know, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In the world, you will have much tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome that. Well, he says, you have found favor with God. And again, the Greek word there in a different form, though, is charis, the grace. And again, Noah found favor in the sight of God. Just how critical it is. Since we're going through Isaiah on Wednesday nights, and we've been going through that section where Isaiah is really stressing that there is one God, there's no other God, no co-gods. The Trinity is the Godhead. It is uniquely and divinely united, three distinct persons, but one God. It is not polytheism. It is monotheistic, one God. And Isaiah 42:8, I am Jehovah. And we know Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. I am Jehovah. That is my name. And my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. You don't have to have a carved image, but if you have someone else, you're elevating to the status of deity, and it's not the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, then you have another. You're in gross violation of this thing. And God will not share his glory on that level. Verse 31, and behold, you will conceive. Now he's speaking to Mary again. You will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Now, this is the most important announcement in human history. Birth of God incarnate. That means God's always been, but now he's coming as a human being, as a baby, as an infant, a newborn. And his name shall be Jesus. Now this is a prophetic name. This is a prophecy, and it is going to be fulfilled by his birth, his death on the cross, and his resurrection. His name involves saving us. Joshua in the Hebrew, Jesus, Jesus in the Greek. And the story behind the name is, you know, Joshua, that character, the general, Moses' assistant in the Old Testament, his name was Hoshea. Moses took the name Jehovah and combined it with Hoshea, Yehoshua, which means Jehovah saves. Hoshea means salvation. And so you have this name, Yehoshea, truncated, shortened to Joshua, Yahshua, and it is the same name as Jesus in the Greek language. And so your Jehovah in the Old Testament is Jesus in the New Testament, not simply because of the name, but because of the fulfillment of all the prophecies. And so if someone were to mock the virgin birth and say, hey, see that little boy over there? He was born of a virgin too. Well, do you believe that? Well, the answer would be, I do if he lives like Jesus. If he can be sinless, if he can do those miracles, if he can fulfill, then where was he born? Because if he wasn't born in Bethlehem, he's disqualified from being Messiah. And so, you know, we have a reason for the hope that is in us. And it's unfortunate that so many Christians in hysteria deflect from the substance of the faith, the eyes of the unbeliever. And all the unbeliever can see is the madness of someone, you know, that's in Jesus' name, claiming things that Jesus never gave to us, etc. And so it's very important, I think, that we have some understanding of what we believe. The more, the better. As Solomon said of writing books, there is no end. And that means that you can always learn more. No matter how deep you go, the Bible's deeper. And I point this out because it's very dangerous. There are many Christians who get into learning so much that they become almost useless. They just walk around like they're an encyclopedia and they have all this data that they've not digested. You take a Christian who simply loves the Lord, stays familiar with His Word as best he or she can, and that's the one that becomes the dynamo. God's not looking for A students of Scripture. He's looking for anointed disciples who love Him, who sit before His Word, who endure over the years. And so you may look back and say, you know, 10, 15 years ago, I was so in love with the Lord. I was so into this, but life has taken so much out of me. I just don't have that same zeal. I have so many doubts now. Well, I only know one way to get over my own doubts, and I doubt them. So my doubt shows up, I doubt it. There's no way. Sometimes when I open my scripture for my private devotional, do you think I'm always in the mood? I don't always hear a chorus, the hallelujah chorus, when I'm opening my Bible. It's like, oh, man, I know this. I've memorized this. I'm not even comprehending it. So what do I do in those times? I dial 911. What do I do? I know what's going on. I know what's happening. This is my cue to fight through it. Or get nowhere. That's it. I don't know of any other way. Sometimes you can sing a song and help. Sometimes it doesn't. So I have learned the only way over a hill is over a hill. Going around it is just not a way. And so anyhow, I don't know how I got to that, but now we're at verse 32, back on course. I love this. Listen to this. He will be great and will be called Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will be great. Remembering now, this angel speaking to a monotheistic people. That word's come up a few times this morning. This is a people that one God, and you step out of that, man, you get stoned. They're not going to negotiate on this issue. And this is why the Trinity is somewhat veiled, yet present in the New Testament, because it does not want to send a mixed signal that somehow the Christian faith has three gods. We don't have three gods. We have an expression of one God in three persons. And so that is something to not lose sight of here. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. And so he says he will be great. This is the beginning of that revelation that this is the one. Mary, your child. Now, every parent thinks their child is great till the teen years come. But anyway, every child, you know, that my child is great. And you should think that way, as long as you're not, you know, smashing everybody else's child. But this one is the one that truly is great. And so thus the Ephesian quote, Philippians. Now Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21, far above all principality. In other words, not even close. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. And in other words, whatever else you could think of. Not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. The speaking about Jesus Christ, Paul in the Ephesian letter is saying there's no one like him. It's not even close. It's not a contest. He's distinct from creation. He is uncreated. He's God Almighty. And we worship him and we love him because he is worthy. And the word worthy means worth. He's worth it. This is why we're so disturbed when we fail, because we believe he's worth our obedience. And there we are, unable to produce it. And then he says, I know that. I saw that coming. So I provided for it. And so he does, like he said to Joshua. You know, Joshua attacked Achan. They got, because of Achan, they attacked Ai. They were defeated because of Achan's sin. And Joshua's on his face. He's, oh, God, why could you let this happen? You told us to attack. We got whooped. And God says to Joshua, get up. I love it. You know, what are you no use to me like this? I need you up. I need you to do something. And the first step is now deal with the sin. And then get back in there, tiger. And so I will also add that here we have this description of Jesus. He will be great. We got nothing like this with Mary. And we got something about this with John, but not on this level. John's greatness was qualified by being that Elijah-like character announcing this great one. Luke 1, verse 15, for he, speaking of John the Baptist, he will be great in the sight of the Lord. But this one, he's just great. He is the Lord. That's why. And so these gems, as I mentioned, these gems, they're in Scripture. And what unfortunately we often do in our study is we end up coming out saying, well, that doesn't mean what it says, rather than coming out and saying, yeah, it means that and a whole busload more, and here it is. And I think that that should be our approach to Scripture, not trying to twist it, but trying to conform to it and get out of it all that we can. And when I struggle with my own faith, for whatever it is, maybe it's something I can't find the spirit of forgiveness or something. Usually that's not been my problem, but now that I've mentioned it to you, watching, that's how it works. But anyhow, usually when there's something like that, I know God's going to get me through, regardless of my mood, long as I stick with Him. And over the years, I can say, ha, still standing, while I'm standing behind Him. I can talk all the trash I want while I'm standing behind Him. Now, of course, we pay attention that the angel Michael, tough angel. I mean, he did not get into an argument with Satan over the body of Moses. He just said, Lord, deal with you. And Michael, his name is a rebuke to Satan, because Satan, I will be like the Most High. And Michael's name is, who's like God? And so nobody, that's the idea. And so his very name is a rebuke to Satan. And with all of his might and power, he doesn't bother. You know, and my point is, you know, it's not wise to thumb your nose at the devil. It's better to bend your knees before the Lord. It's better to stay focused on keeping the important things important and give him as little airtime. I mean, we see this in the news. Why are they reporting that? They're just giving airtime to these fools. And so we don't give it to Satan. And he will be called the Son of the Highest. Even the evil spirits called him this. In fact, well, Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 7. And he cried out with a loud voice, this man that is demon-possessed, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, by God, that you do not torment me. And so the demons, they recognize who Jesus Christ is, and yet we have so many human beings, they just can't get it. Many don't want it. You know the saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But you can get that horse thirsty. You can salt his oats, as the saying goes. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be living in such a way that they get a little thirsty for what we have. And again, the world does not expect Christians to be perfect. They just expect that we're not flaming hypocrites. And when we achieve that, doors open. He says, and the Lord, here in verse 32, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Now this is, of course, it's not yet fulfilled on earth. It's the millennial reign. It is fulfilled that he is the great Son of the Highest. That part is fulfilled. He's on the throne of God. But this is the throne of his father David, where he rules in the Messianic kingdom at the end of the Great Tribulation period. Now, at this time, the time that Gabriel is speaking to Mary about the throne of David, the house of David has reached its lowest point in history. There's no Judean king on the throne. There's a homicidal Idumean, an Edomite, Herod. He's sitting on David's throne at the time these words were said. And Joseph, who is royalty, Joseph is a prince. He's in line to be a king in Judah. God comes to this village carpenter and this little peasant girl. We say that because we look at their offerings, and they were meager offerings, suggesting they were not rolling in the dough at all. When you offer turtle doves, we can't afford a bull or a sheep. This is what we have. And so Joseph and Mary essentially were all that was left of the royal line of David to be approached like this. Oh, there may have been other relatives that were in line or close to, but their lives did not match the lives of these two. And so two things we must be careful about. One is that we do not turn against Mary because of the abuses others have subjected her name to. Mary is a sweetheart of Scripture. And, you know, if when it comes to meeting people in heaven, I look forward to meeting Mary. Very much so. And it's good. We're just going to get more about her as the story goes on. And then Joseph. I mean, He wasn't just this other guy. Yes, he's not the father of Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean he wasn't a great man of the word. A very honorable character, a just man.
It's our prayer for each and every broadcast of Cross Reference Radio that you would grow in your relationship with Jesus. Perhaps after listening today, you'd like to visit us for one of our worship services here at Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. For driving directions and current service times, log on to crossreferenceradio.com and simply select the link to the church homepage. There you'll find all the information you need. This has been another edition of Cross Reference Radio, the teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville in Mechanicsville, Virginia. We invite you to join us again for another teaching through the Gospel of Luke with Pastor Rick. That's next time on Cross Reference Radio. Thank you.